You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Monday afternoon, a windy, hay fever-like day for me and probably many others. So if I sound bad, that means I'm consistent with how I sound. Good day today. Busy day today, obviously. Hey, the NBA semifinals or the finals of the West are going on now in about an hour. Look forward to that. Golden State has a chance to wrap it up tonight. I'm not too sure they will. I think Portland maybe has one game left in them. Tom, and by the way, Tom, hello, Tom.
Hello, Steve.
Hello, Tom.
Well, you've got two games in which the Trailblazers were leading by, what, 10, 12, 13 points in each game?
Yeah.
And still couldn't finish. You think this team has the mentality to go a third time now and see if they can pull out a win against the Warriors? Seriously?
Yes, I think I've told you that. Yes, you laugh at me now, but I think I've predicted every win the way it happens because nothing happens to the fourth quarter.
You're not going to go for a Warrior sweep?
I don't know yet. And I'll say that before they play, because it's all about psychological things now. Either you'll have, and I don't like doing this all that often, but I will now. Golden State can sweep and have some rest. That's the storyline for them. Portland can win one, all the while probably knowing that they can't win four straight. So that ain't going to happen.
No, and if they do win tonight, they got to go back to Oakland.
Right. So there's that psychology factor. If you win one, now you have to win another one and another one and another one. So they might just dial it in and say no. But the last three games are true to form. Oakland is much the better team. They're not going to beat Oakland in a seven-game series. They might take one. I think if they're going to do it, they have to do it tonight. And I think they could. I'm not sure that they will, because the psychological factor of the game now plays a factor. Can we beat them once? Okay, maybe, but then we have to beat them three straight. That ain't going to happen. So
there's something to consider in tonight's game. How is Andrew Iguodala going to be able to play? Is he going to play?
I think it's questionable right now, Andre.
And if he doesn't play?
That doesn't matter. It's not a factor. Not tonight. Not tonight. Let me say this. I think that Portland will win tonight. And then they'll go back to just because, my psychological type of thing. And everyone knows
it makes for a better Hollywood script.
No, it's just the way basketball is played. I mean, teams show up when they need to show up. Oakland does that the best. They play well when they have to. Tonight, they really don't have to. And they'll likely lose tonight. Portland will win one. They're good enough to win one. Like you said, they've had them on the ropes and they just can't close. They just can't close. If that's the team you are, you can't do it.
You think the whole Warrior team is going to follow that mentality? You don't think there's going to be a couple of guys on that team that's going to say, heck no, we're not going to lose this game tonight. Come on, you guys, let's go.
No, they're going to say it. Whether they say it and do it, two different things. So I'll take Portland tonight if you want to take another Warriors.
No more corn dogs, thank you.
Okay, then you'll have to sit on my prediction there, Tom. Sit on my prediction. That happens. It starts in an hour. I could very well be wrong, but that's what I'm going to go with.
I'm not making a prediction. I'm just listening to you.
Okay.
Pontificate.
Pontification. I do that very often with no great results, kind of like my Preakness pick. That crushed me on Saturday.
Baffert, where did he finish? Improbable is what, fifth?
I think fifth. He, again, no fire from the Baffert horses this last two, 3 weeks, which is very surprising to me. He had no fight. Around the turn, down the stretch, I thought, no, ain't going to happen.
So improbable turned out to be impossible.
Improbable turns. Really, very good, Tom. You're learning from me. That's great. Take some notes. Do you have a pen there?
I do. Okay. You want me to take a note?
You're taking notes. That's a good one, though. I like it. So Preakness was not good for a lot of people if they had the chalk. I mean, War of Will was the horse, and the others had very little chance. But it was a clean race. It was a good race. You know, whatever. Now we go on to the Belmont. where we'll
on
see
to the Belmont.
War
and
will.
Who are the favorites? Do we have any early favorites for
too
the Belmont?
Early to tell. Too early to tell. It's like trying to predict a good marriage after the first.
We don't know if Maximum Security is going to run, although the owner said, if anybody beats me.
Of the four that beat him in the first one.
Yeah, but that tells me that he's planning on running in the Belmont.
Don't assume. Don't
all
assume,
right.
Thomas.
Okay, all right. That's you're right. That's rule number one. Never assume
never
anything.
Never assume. So we'll see when that happens. That's in 3 weeks. Longer race of all three, so we'll see what happens. But not a good day at the track for me, at least with the Baffert horses, which is, you know, whatever. Whatever. Let's go. Today's spline up we'll have at 5:20. We're going to have the Marcus Coleman show, at least the Arizona's Housing Solutions Monday afternoon quarterback with Marcus Coleman. He'll be calling in at 5:20, talk about their big win again over the weekend. Last minute win, actually. Tucson scored
Sugar Skull
scored a last minute touchdown to win.
And
the
this
game.
Time it stuck.
And this time it stuck, correct. Right. Did you see the highlight of that game? The highlight of the game?
No, I didn't.
It was I think they scored about 30, 40 seconds left in the game, and they won the game. They held the other team in the final seconds. So good for them. They're still in the hunt for a good spot.
Who
in
did
the
they
playoffs.
Play?
Not Chattanooga. They played. They were on the road. I want to say Quad City, I think, one of those teams. I can't remember. I'll have to get through my notes here real quick. So there's that. I'll get back to you real quick, Thomas. So then at 5:40, I have my colleague Javier Morales. I think this is his first time on my show. He's been following the U of A softball team the last few weeks, covered them extensively over the weekend, wanted to get his impression of the team or what he thought of them. They swept their home series here on the regional.
And they won in dramatic fashion. I know Javier is going to be excited to talk about it.
Which one? On the second
yesterday.
Game? They won 12-3.
Don't you think four home runs?
Oh, just dramatic?
That's kind of dramatic, because they haven't been hitting very many home runs up until yesterday.
Your drama and my drama are two different dramas, Thomas. I'm fine with that. It probably was cool for the late young lady who hit the three. But,
well, I mean, how many games did they hit four home runs here in towards the end of the season?
Oh, you're asking me questions I have no answers to.
All right.
But you know what I'm saying. Drama to me is like last minute they hit a bomb.
Let's find out if Javier agrees with my drama or your drama.
I do not gauge Javier's opinion on my philosophy, okay. So we won't go there. But we'll ask him. So he's at 5:40. We'll go to 6 o'clock with him. And then we'll have Shane Folsom on, Coach Shane Folsom. He's the head coach of the Sabino High School baseball team. They won another state title. I wanted to talk to him about that. Very excited guys on the team. They won the state title last year, but that was stripped from them after some controversy. So it shows that there's a lot of good talent over there on the east side. And we'll talk to him for about 20 minutes talking about the excitement.
After 6 o'clock?
After 6 o'clock. Okay. He'll begin the 6 o'clock show. And then I saw something on the internet. You know, that thing they call the internet. Today I posted on my timeline, actually, a daddy coach baseball, kind of like daddy ball, where the coaches of today, and I totally agree with the coach, he was from Louisiana, talking about how kids today are spoiled, entitled. And this has been going on for a while, so I'm not shocking anybody. And the kids today either give up because it's too difficult to move up or to be told that they need to work. And kids today, when they hear that, stop giving up on working or working hard to become who they become. And he talked about the youth sports today. Everyone gets a trophy type of thing, and that doesn't make people work hard to move up in the world. I totally agree with him.
This is a result of what's been going on the last 30, 40 years, say?
Yes, yes, yes. You probably have
participation trophies.
Correct. It doesn't teach them to work their butt off, to compete, that there will be hard times, and to get out of those hard times.
Line up, kids. Everybody gets a ribbon.
Everybody gets a ribbon, correct. I've written a number of columns about that at The Citizen and in other places where I don't agree with that, but it is what it is. Nowadays, when they're well, I guess the economy is so good that everybody has a job, but I say that facetiously, but when you lose a job, it's hard to get a new job, and that's when you have to scramble. I'm one of those guys that has to do that every now and again, have to reinvent myself. So you know, you have to kind of scramble and work hard to get these type of jobs that if you don't have one, you got to find a way. You know, and that's what he kind of talked about. It's on the internet, and we'll talk to Shane about that. We're going to have some people hopefully call in just to get their thoughts on that at the 6:30 after Shane. About
and 6:20. What number would that be to call in?
Good question. 790-2040. I know that's a rhetorical question for you.
And if you're streaming, if you're over in San Diego, Pancho, yep. 520-790-2040.
Yes, and if you're listening or not listening, because if you're not listening, you're not listening. But if you want to stream live, kvoi.com, you could do that when you're on the road or whatever, on your cell or whatever, on your phone.
On your computer.
Whatever you can get internet with. So that's a pretty busy day today. I also want to say that the soccer team, FC Tucson won big over the weekend, beat Chattanooga, big 4-0. We talked to the assistant coach last week, and it was a very big win, good win. They needed that win to just for a confidence builder, whatever.
Now, where are they in the season?
I think they're either 3-3 or 2-2. It's very early in the season. But I think they needed that to get to 500. They've had a tie or two, so I just don't know off the top of my head what their exact...
And how long will the season last?
Go to September, I'm pretty sure. So they have two, you know...
And then there'll be some sort of a turning, a playoff, something. Okay.
Correct, yes. They played the North Dakota, Bismarck. That's who they beat.
Bismarck was glad to be down here. They're still having a winner up there.
52-40. Though they are everywhere. I have some friends in Colorado, and they showed me some pictures of snow in the mountains there.
Wow. How about snow in Flagstaff yesterday?
Yeah, same thing. Snow up in the mountains.
Yeah.
This is very surprising, isn't it? The weather as we're seeing.
I'm enjoying it.
Are you? Yeah.
The people that I've talked with today all agree they're liking it.
Who wouldn't, except for those people suffering from hay fever? That's one of my problems the last few days.
Well, you know, I too suffer from hay fever, and it seems to be something that I have to deal with all year long.
Do you?
So I've learned to live with it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm the guy that's complaining about the kids and the trophies, you know, complaining about my life. No, I don't do it. I just do it in the spring and the fall. That's the only time it gets me, but it gets me pretty badly. So I'm having some asthma issues too with breathing. So if I sound any different than I do before, it's because of that.
Now you sound fine.
Because I can't talk. Hello.
Now you're sounding funny. Now you sound okay.
Yeah, okay. Hey, let's take a break here now and hope that we get a call from Coach Coleman here on the other side as we go to 5:18 on Monday afternoon here on 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. Welcome to Monday afternoon. A lot of stuff going on in the world of sports. It's funny. I saw today that Magic Johnson was complaining about his situation as Lakers president over the last few months, and he threw a few people under the bus as he had already said goodbye about a month or so ago.
Hadn't there been some rumors about him having problems with the new
administration,
general manager guy?
Yeah.
Who is that? Ken somebody?
Rob Pelinka. Rob Pelinka.
Yeah.
Former.
Sounds like a Japanese arcade game.
It's called Plinko. Yeah, I
get it. Something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. No, power struggle. GM president. He wasn't getting his input in often enough, or he wasn't being heard often enough. I get it. He's taking some hits already now for his comments about being backstabbed or whatever the word may be. But it's when you get paid a lot of money, you get paid to be asked to do a lot of different things, and I'm sure Magic is part of that. But if you don't feel comfortable in your position and what you're doing with the organization, you can get out any time. Just stop getting paid. And he has other things to do. I think when he talked about when he left, he says, I just want to leave and be Magic again. Hell, I'd be Magic for the next 30, 40 years if I were him.
So he's burning bridges, do you think?
I don't know. I doubt
it. How will it be for him if he... wants to latch on with another organization in a similar position.
I don't think that will happen because he's a Laker guy. He played for them for forever, and he's a Laker guy, and either it's sink or swim with him. And I'm sure he's tired of being part of that chaos. And let me tell you, I'm not a Laker fan. I'm not a Laker fan. I really don't care. But there's no question there's chaos, a lot of chaos.
Well, now he can use his celebrity status and, you know, just do appearances or maybe do some sports play-by-play necessarily, but you know, color commentary.
Yeah, he doesn't need the money. He has a lot of businesses on the side, and it's probably tough being Magic Johnson. You know, just being Magic Johnson, just a full-time job in itself. It's like when LeBron will probably retire. You know, being LeBron is being LeBron. He's already kind of a producer.
Are you predicting that LeBron is going to announce his retirement soon?
No. That's what you got out of it, or are you just asking?
I heard something about LeBron and retire in the conversation there.
What? Oh, geez. Bob, when are you coming back? Bob, when are you coming back? I said, when? It's when.
Well, don't use LeBron's name and the word retire in the same sentence then.
Tom, you're a goof. You got hearing aids? You got to put those on. Turn those on.
What, do you want me to play back the tape?
Don't go where you don't need to go, Mr. Tom.
Right.
Don't go where you need to go. Just touch those buttons, and I'll nod at you.
That's me. I'm the guy behind the curtain. I'm turning the knobs, pulling the levers. Yes, sir, boss.
Holy moly. No, I didn't say that. I said when and if he'll probably just be run. Magic Johnson can do whatever he pleases, which I would just be Magic Johnson the rest of my life if I were him. There's no pressure in that. You could do whatever you want to do and please whoever you need to please, and that would be him. That's what I would do. That's what I try to do now. It is me. That's why I say, Tom, shh, shh, shh. You know what? I think we talked about this last week. Memphis has made a big run at some great recruits, and they are now the number one team with the best recruits coming in next year. They've supplanted Arizona and Duke, so now it's Memphis, Duke, and Arizona.
Memphis is now the number one team as far as college recruits for next season?
Correct. You know who their coach is, right?
Pasternak?
No.
Don't ask me a question I don't know the answer to.
Welcome to my world, Tom. Welcome to my world. Now you know how I feel. Touche, son. No, it's Penny Hardaway, former player there.
Oh, okay, good.
So now a lot of people coming to go play for him or going to go play for him, and he's got a pretty good class. Four guys, pretty highly rated class, obviously. Four highly rated guys with Duke and then Arizona. At least that's what it is on ESPN, I'm sure.
Since when did Duke move up past Arizona?
Oh, they had that one guy that came in. It's been a while.
Okay.
And you know what that means? All that means?
Nothing.
Not a darn thing. And that's going to be my catchphrase now. You know what it means? Not a darn thing. You know what that trial that ended 3-4 weeks ago with Sean Miller? Not a darn thing, because it didn't involve Arizona. It didn't involve Sean Miller. So I think that I'm going to get a bumper sticker. But you know what it means? Not a darn thing at the end of the day. You know what tonight's game with Portland and Golden State means? Not a darn thing, because if they lose, they're done. If they win tonight, they're going to be done in game 5.
That's his bumper sticker.
Yes.
NADT.
NAD. That's it. Hold on. Who do I contact to get that patent? Not a darn thing.
Now you want to copyright it. Okay.
Yes. I want to copyright it. That's all I got. So they're number 3 now. And like I say, what does it matter? It doesn't. I had seen somewhere, and I don't know, I wouldn't even talk about it because I'll worry about it tomorrow, about the UA basketball team. That was kind of interesting. But I couldn't find it anywhere else but on Twitter, and I'm not a big Twitter guy, so I'm not going to believe what I saw until I see it myself directly. No assumptions being made. So, softball team looked very good, obviously. We'll talk to Javier about it soon. But we'll use your dramatic fashion thing later. They played very well against good competition. I like that. That was good. This next 3 games should be very interesting as Ole Miss comes in. I think they'll play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or the next few days.
Well, I like the fact that UCLA, Washington, and Arizona, in getting to the Super Regionals, did so by downing three SEC teams.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think, well, how many SEC teams?
Oh, there's a bunch.
12. I think they made them.
There was more than Pac-12. Pac-12 had five.
Yeah.
We've lost two of them.
SEC had, I think, 12.
Stanford and Arizona State are out.
Yeah, Arizona State had them on the ropes, and they lost to Alabama. Yeah, yeah. It's funny. I was going to talk about this, too, some of the fans, you know, the rivalry is kind of one of those crazy rivalries, Arizona and ASU. So when ASU lost to Alabama, all the fans down in here was cheering the heck out of that loss because they're fans and they don't want to see ASU succeed.
It's too bad they looked at it that way. Oh, yeah, ASU lost. No, we don't want that. We want the Pac-12 to keep winning.
They don't exactly. I believe what you're saying is true, at least in my mind. But it's not that way. And I don't know if I've talked to you about this, but maybe with Bob, that German term, it's when you
Farfeknugen?
That's it. But not that word. But you know where I'm going with it. Where it's getting glee from other people's demise. Sad to me. Sad, but you know, it is what it is.
And it's really sad for those people that's what they have to do,
right,
to pump themselves up.
Correct.
Is to make somebody else
look bad. Or feel bad.
I'm with you on this.
Hold on. We agree on something. So we get that.
We agree on a lot. Come on, you.
Don't assume. And then that was the bad thing. Today we agree on Farfeknugen.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm not sure if Coach is going to call. We're at 5:30 now. We got about 10 minutes left in this segment before Javier calls in. But if not, we can always talk to Marcus down the road.
Paging Marcus Coleman. Yeah,
well, they're doing very well. They won three straight. Let me also say this, and I'll ask him straight up. Does it matter who you play when you're succeeding like you are? And I say that because they went into this three-game winning streak on a four-game losing streak. And then now they've won. Here, he might be calling in now. Maybe not. And now they've won three straight, but they've beaten San Diego, and Bismarck. I think together they've won three games. Bismarck has won two. San Diego has won one. So they're beating the lower division teams and struggling against the top teams. So are we ready, Lawrence?
Lawrence wants to join the conversation.
Okay, great. Yeah, thank you, Lawrence. Thanks for saving me here on KBOI.
Oh, no problem. You know, the comment about that ASU-UVA thing, I think it when you're competitors.
Yeah.
You know, because I used to compete against ASU in the archery, and they were just phenomenal. But you know, as competitors, you have respect for each other, even though you hate each other.
Yeah.
And when we'd go and compete at other colleges, man, we'd hear people ripping these guys ASU. Well, I'm thinking, you know, ASU got the cream of the crop of the top U.S. archers in the country. And we said to him, you know, if you practice 5 hours a day like they did and did the training like they did, you'd be just as successful, you know. But as far as, like, for fans, I remember the stories about the baseball, especially baseball, when it was Lou Brock and Jerry Kendall, and how Jerry Kendall's wife, Georgia at the time.
Yes.
His first wife was really sick, and the fans up at ASU were merciful on
coaching. Right.
They've been that way, and it's just a thing that just goes on and on. But as far as the competitors, I think deep down inside the competitors, yeah, they want to beat each other up and go hand in hand, but they're the ones that root for them and, you know, like have the Pac-12 mentality, you know, root for the other team to cheer. As much as I hate ASU, I'd like to see them when they play other big teams and go against, like, other conferences. You're right. I like to see them beat them.
Yeah, no question. I agree with you. I agree with you on all things that you talked about, and we all know about the Steve Kerr thing when he was playing up there, and you know, it's probably just a small pocket of people acting stupid,
right.
but then it gets the bad name for the whole group and yada yada, and it's just not right.
Yeah, you know, it's like one thing I learned as being a competitor, and I don't recall if this is from, you know, listening to Coach Friedley or maybe some of my other coaches, but we always, you know, if you cheer for the other, for your rival, and they beat the other teams, and then when you beat them, if you really set yourself up to on a high pedestal, you know,
yeah,
to sit there and really brag when you do that. And that's
sure.
really the point of it. I would love to see ASU go through there, and then we continue to pound the heck out of them at the World Series, you know, at the,
sure.
over there. So
sure,
you know,
sure, sure.
I agree with that. But I think if you talk to the competitors, they'll say, "Oh yeah, we hate it." But deep down inside, when they're watching compete against somebody else, they're like, "Oh yeah, go go go!" You know. Yeah,
when a Pac-12 team wins, it's good for the conference.
Yes, right. I totally agree. Lawrence, great call. I totally agree with what you're saying. And he's right. If you're a competitor,
take care.
Thank you very much. When you're a competitor, you hope the other team does well because it does. It's and you have indirect wins, which makes sense a little bit. You know, I go to Kansas and I beat Kansas, and then ASU beats me. It's kind of like an indirect win somehow. That's how they figure it out down the road. But Lawrence, thanks for the call. It's a good call. Someone texted me, and I knew the word. I forgot what it had been, though. Schadenfreude is the name for that word that you're talking about, Farfadnugan.
Was ist das?
Yeah. Fond or lightning, whatever you said in Swedish. Taking pleasure in others' misfortune.
Schadenfreude,
yeah, that one, whatever you said.
I don't know if I don't think I said anything.
What do you mean?
I don't know that I said anything. It doesn't sound like I said anything in German.
Oh,
if it wasn't in German, Tom, it probably wasn't in anything.
Yeah, Tom, I don't listen to you anyway, so it doesn't matter. you're the tree of the forest. No. That's what it is. It's Schadenfreude. However you said it, you say it better than I do.
All right.
Yeah, so that's good. I wrote a story about that at The Citizen a long time ago when there was this big rivalry and everybody tries to put everybody else down because it makes you feel better. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. You see it in life.
I have never understood that.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is what it is. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens down the road. And Arizona has its chance to get to the World Series. It's a big weekend of softball. 2-3 years ago, Baylor was in town. Arizona looked like it was going to get to the World Series for the first time in like 7-8 years. And it took one pitch.
Unfortunately, they had already put themselves in the World Series. They were looking past Baylor.
And they lost in that last second
home
run.
Yeah, and they better not look past
Ole Miss. Did
you remember that
game? You remember?
Yeah.
Very disheartening that game for a lot of different reasons.
Mississippi is a team you do not want to take lightly.
Yeah, any of them.
They have. They took a series against Florida, 2 out of 3. Mm-hmm. They took a series against Kentucky, and one or two other SEC teams. They beat Georgia too, so you don't want to take Mississippi lightly.
No. At this level, you can't take any team lightly, because of the caliber of teams from all of them. So we'll see. We'll see what Mike does. They have a press conference tomorrow. I hope to get to that tomorrow, and maybe I'll have a player or two on the show in the next couple of days. We had a coach Kendrea on the show earlier last week, and I always enjoy talking to him. He gives me grief, and I enjoy it. Like kind of like you, but just different, Tom.
No, you give me grief. What are you talking about? I don't give you grief. You're the grief giver.
That's not how I count
you're
it.
You're the grief giver in chief.
That's not how I see it, but okay, I agree with you. Let's take a break here. I know that the coach is probably not going to call. Maybe we get him on the other hour when we have some time, but let's take a break here and see what we get from Javier on the phone. Hello, I'm Steve Rivera here on AM 1030 The Voice. I'm going to start to talk to Javier Morales once he gets the message that we were ready for him, which of course could be tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Who knows? He's well aware that he needs to call it. Hey, I'm not sure about that song. I'm not sure I like that song. That's probably going to be a thumbs down. We have to delete that baby.
Okay.
I think I looked at it. Hey, I also want to give you some news. The golf team,
yes,
women's golf team, doing very well. They just finished match play. Now they're in sixth place as they head into.
They were in fourth place.
Now they're in sixth.
Now they're in sixth. Well, they're still hanging in there.
Yeah. Quarterfinals play is set for tomorrow, but they wrapped up the round just a little while ago, and now they sit in sixth place with the top eight moving on. So here comes the nitty-gritty. Can they defend their title? We'll see what happens. And now, as we speak, I'm going to talk to Javier Morales of AllSportsTucson.com. How are you, Javier?
Doing well. How you doing, Steve?
Fine, thank you. You're going to have to get some adrenaline here because I am running out of steam. how was your weekend covering the women's softball team?
It was, you know, the Saturday, I stayed there for the whole, like, 7 hours because I wanted to see who Arizona would play yesterday. So that was kind of a long day, but it's college softball, so it wasn't very bad. I enjoyed it. It was a nice night out. That's some good softball being played, but Arizona was impressive. It seems like they might be where they were in 2010, maybe getting back to that College World Series, that elusive College World Series. We'll see next week against Ole Miss. But I would have to think that Mike Kondreyev feels, as good as he's ever felt about a team going into Super Regional, I would think.
Yes.
Are for him right now.
As for that seven-hour day on Saturday, you're not allowed overtime at All Sports Tucson, so scratch that, baby. Scratch
is there
that.
Overtime, yeah.
This is Javier time. You're always on overtime, Javier. how many games have you covered now? Maybe a dozen or so?
Yeah, around that.
Have you got a sense of what the team is like in terms of chemistry and personality?
I think it's very good. I think they mesh really well. And Kondreyev said this some numerous times, and I think he's told you, is they're seniors. They have a couple of seniors that, you know, they're not playing. They're bench players, and he feels like they're receptive to the team concept. It's helped a lot with some of the younger players, like Hillary Edier. She's a senior that hardly plays, and she's like a leader type. And I think he feels, and he said this many times, is that the chemistry he feels is one of his best that he's experienced at Arizona, from top to bottom. And just our overall makeup with Taylor McQuillan and Alyssa Denham on the circle, they're really dominant. And then you look at their lineup, and their lineup from one to nine is productive. The top half is very powerful. The second half is very opportunistic, and they get on base a lot. So I think all phases of their game is clicking right now, and I think a lot of it has to do, like you said, like the chemistry and them meshing together. To the second half of the season, it's really been strong.
This is an opinion question. Don't answer until the question is completely out. Arizona won by 12-3, I think it was yesterday. Harper hit three home runs. They won, I won't say, won't use any words here, 12-3. Harper hit the three home runs. The game was what, about an hour and a half maybe at the most, or 2 hours, whatever it was?
It was about 2 hours, yeah.
Did you listen to the show earlier, or were you on the road, or were you doing something?
I caught the tail end of what you guys were talking about.
Okay, so was it a dramatic win for Arizona or not?
It was not a dramatic win. When you think about, I'm thinking about dramatic to me would be like them winning in like a walk-off or something like that. If you're thinking about dramatics like the number of home runs hit, that's kind of a different thing. But depends on what you mean by dramatic. To me, it would be like a walk-off type home win.
That just seems to me, Javier, this is Tom, it just seems to me that the home runs all of a sudden started showing up, whereas we kept looking for them in the past and we only saw maybe one or two. Now, bang, we got four in one game. Not bad, huh?
Right. Yeah, and I tweeted right before Jesse Harper hit the three home runs. I tweeted, she's only had three home runs in her last 10 games, and she was in kind of like a home run hitting slump, and then right after that, she hit three home runs.
You need to tweet more things like that there, Javier. Steve hasn't hit the lottery ever. Maybe next time he'll hit the lottery. One of those things.
I'll tweet that right after you get off the show.
Yeah.
But you have to give me a part of it, though.
Never mind. You'll never find me if I hit that baby.
Yeah.
It was nice knowing you, Javier, if I hit that baby. Are you enjoying this?
I'll find you in Vegas somewhere.
Yeah, no. No one's ever going to find me, even my kids. Hey, so obviously I think one of the best coaches to cover at U of A at any time, and I'll even throw in Lute and Dick Tomey and all them, Kondreyev, because he speaks his mind, very candid, very glib, very good to cover. Yes?
Oh, very, very down to earth. I think you had him on maybe a couple shows ago when
yes.
I was listening. It was like you guys were sitting at a bar, sitting at a stool, up at the bar, just talking. And what coach is like that?
Yeah,
he's like that. He'll talk to you. He's got obviously a lot of history. He has stories. Very, very congenial. And you feel like you learned something when you talk to him. You know, it's, you know, few people are like that.
Yeah.
He's very, he's, when you have a conversation with him, you can tell that he's thinking and he's expressing himself, and you're learning from what he's saying about the game, the mental aspects of the game.
I've had a few good guests, more than a few good guests on the show, and I thought he was like that. I think Frank Bush is like that. Rocky LaRose was like that. Just, you know, kind of just a conversation about the good old days and how what it meant to them.
Right, and he'd probably be the type that would sit as long as you want him to sit when he's not busy. You know, out of season, he'd probably go to your show and sit there for 2 hours.
Sure.
And not mind at all.
Yeah, no question. Were you surprised? I hope to get out there tomorrow for the press conference to do a story. But were you surprised to see Reyna Carranco play?
I was somewhat surprised. I mean, she had two, from what we were told, she had two broken hands. I mean, bones in both hands 2 weeks ago. And I'm not sure how she was able to return so quickly. She did wear a soft brace on her left hand, and she still can't feel because she can't close the glove all the way. But for her to be able to grasp the bat and swing it like she did, her first couple of at-bats were like hard hits.
Yeah.
And then she said afterward that she didn't, it felt the same, that she didn't feel any different. So either she has a strong threshold for pain or, I don't know what the severity of the injury was, but she's been able to. I mean, that's a great story. The way she came back,
it definitely gave the team a lift.
Yeah,
and she got a couple of good hits, and just the psychological part of that too for that team, for her to come back like that is, you know, immense for them.
If I get two broken bones in my hands, I'm retiring. Just so you know,
exactly. I'm the same way. Yeah, that's amazing the way sports are these days with these injuries, the way they come back so quickly from them.
Right, right. Well, it's good to be 20 years old or 19 years old,
right,
and not 100 years like me or us. I don't want to put you in my us category, but you know what I'm saying. Oh, and Tom too. We can't forget Tom.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah. So what about Harper? Good to talk to you. I've never spoken to Harper. A lot of punch in her bat. This whole lineup has a lot of punch in the bat.
When you talk to her, it seems like she's just like a happy-go-lucky, unfazed. She says that she's not a home run hitter, yet she has 28 home runs, and she had 3 home runs yesterday. And she honestly believes that she's not a home run hitter. I mean,
she's still
a home run hitter that hits like that and says they're not a home run hitter.
But that
tells you what she is.
She still have the NCAA lead in the softball standings as far as home runs?
Yes, she got that yesterday with the 3 home runs.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I think Candrea feeds that kind of thought process, like never think about what you are, think about what you can do, you know, that kind of thought process. So she's never going to admit that she's like leading, like she's a home run hitter, she's leading the nation in home runs. They deflect attention away from themselves, and I think a lot of that has to do with Candrea. The way he coaches and the mental game, the mental part of the game that he coaches with them.
I saw a tweet from you today. You are Mr. Twitter, after all, about the uniforms. About the uniforms. I mean that in a good way. The uniforms, they are kind of strange. People play with those colors like crazy. Arizona uses that kind of copper lettering in basketball. I think you tweeted about the gray, right? It was gray?
Yeah. It's different. It's something that you don't see Arizona wear. Even Kyle Dodd, the ASU radio broadcaster, mentioned, he tweeted back, like, you don't see Arizona do something like that. And a lot of people, I think, 2-1, they liked them. And, I mean,
how many wins have they had wearing those uniforms? That might have something to do with it.
The last 2 times they've worn them. I'm not sure about the other times. But and then their red tops and white pants, they've never worn those at home. I was told the other day by some people there at the U of A that they wore red tops and white pants and they won, and so I guess uniforms are a big deal. You thank that to Oregon
yeah
all this.
And you know how much that means to me.
I know.
Not a darn thing. Yeah. No, put them in whatever. Just get the job done. It's all about the W's. You know how that is. So you must like the what you saw over the weekend. Now with Ole Miss coming in, and they won in dramatic fashion over the weekend, and it's gonna be fun to watch. They play Thursday. Do you know when they play?
They actually play Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Well, possible Sunday.
Okay.
They play Friday. I think their Friday game is at 4, I believe.
Okay.
4 p.m.
Will you be working 7 hours each day there, Javier?
Well, I can go Friday. Saturday, Anthony's going to be there because I have a family thing to do in Phoenix. But and then if Arizona has to extend himself to Sunday, I'll be there Sunday.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it'll be fun. I was looking at some of Ole Miss's players. They have two really good pitchers and two really good hitters, and sometimes that's what you need in college softball, because you have to win two games to go to the College World Series, and they have two really good hitters, and the other hitters get on base here and there, and they manufacture runs. I think their leading home run hitter only has 10, but they get on base, they manufacture runs, and their pitchers, you know, are pretty solid. Arizona has three good pitchers. They have two really proven ones, and Gina Snyder has pitched a lot too, and she beat UCLA a couple weeks ago. So, like I said earlier, Candrea has got to feel as good as he's ever felt going into Super Regional. And there's that cloud over him and that the program with not having been at the College World Series in 9 years now. But I don't think they're too bogged down about that. I think they're in the here and now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be a big difference this time. Came so close 2 years ago.
Right.
But there's a different feel with this team, with the way they're so balanced and the pitching is so deep. The pitching wasn't as deep 2 years ago. It's very deep now. So that's a big difference.
When you were at the press conference, I know it's kind of the younger group of reporters covering the team now. But yeah. Did they mention at all the World Series at this point, or they're going to postpone those questions till later?
Nobody asked about them yesterday. I assume they're going to be asked more and more as the week goes on. And you know, I'm sure Candrea will talk about thinking about the next game and
sure.
thinking about these two games and taking care of business and what's in the past. And these are all different players.
Right.
Mostly from a couple years ago when they played here. They played at UCLA in the Super Regional last year, which that was really tough.
Yeah, no question. They've had a tough draw. Had a tough draw throughout the years. The one that you talked about 2 years ago was an unbelievable, heartbreaking loss when they lost to Baylor to not go when they were on the verge of going. And that was tough.
Right. And they relied a lot on Danielle O'Toole that year. They're not going to they're going to rely on Taylor McQuillan, but they're not going to rely as much on her as they did on O'Toole because of Alyssa Denham and because of Gina Snyder. And that makes a big difference when you're playing back-to-back games like that. And I think Arizona's going to get the Women's College World Series for the first time in 9 years. But, you know.
So
put money on it.
Yeah,
I don't gamble as much as I used to anyway. Though.
What you need to do is tweet about it, so then it'll become, you know, come true. Apparently,
right?
You and your Twitter thing. Hey, how was McQuillan to talk to? I talked to her maybe a time or two, but didn't really get a gauge. Did you talk to her at all?
You know, most of the time we do talk to them, it's in a group setting.
So
we never really talk to them one on one, but. She's very, very upfront, very open. You could tell that she's the leader of this team, the way she talks, and very strong, very forceful, the way she talks. And, but she's very, you know, she has a good personality, a very effervescent personality, and I think she's matured. And Candrea has talked about this a lot during her career. She's matured so much from year to year. She was O'Toole's number two pitcher a couple years ago,
right.
But I think Candrea didn't feel as confident, obviously, then as he has, you know, in her now. The way she's, she could become an All-American. She's an All-West Region player, but she's very good to talk to. You could tell where the leadership comes, and it comes with the team. And she's like the mom of the team. I would say.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, who do you have tonight? Golden State or Portland?
I'm gonna take Golden State.
Okay.
But again, you know, I'm not so good at predictions. So
I'm taking Portland.
Take Portland. Yeah.
Yeah, taking Portland. And I'll stick to that because I'll win one game.
What's the point spread?
I do not know. I would assume Golden State by 3 or something. I don't know. But I'll take Portland. Just tonight.
It would be fun. But, you know, if Portland wins tonight, I'm sure Golden State will.
That's why I'm taking Portland.
Win game 5.
That's why I'm taking Portland. Hey, Javier, we'll talk to you again soon. Stay on that Twitter thing that you do all the time and Facebook.
I'm going to get off and write about you winning the lottery.
Oh, so yeah.
Look out for it.
It was nice knowing you, Hav. It was nice knowing you. It's good to have met you. Because if I do, none of you guys will find me.
Okay.
Thanks, Hav. Take care.
All right. We'll see you later.
Yeah, Javier Morales of AllSportsTucson.com. He does a lot of stuff for us, for him, on AllSportsTucson. And then he's like a Twitter guru. He's like, he loves that thing, Twitter. I hate Twitter. It's like sports talk radio. What is it? What's it doing? What's my phrase? What am I going to patent? Just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. I shouldn't say that on the air, should I? Is this thing on?
I believe so, yes.
Get my own throat here.
We can check the recording and see for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, no, yeah. We'll have to bleep that out for like a minute and a half. No, I totally love what I do here. It's a lot of fun. Especially you, Tom. Have you, because I could get to bust you. Is that what you're talking about? Get to bust you.
Thank you.
Hey, let's go to break. Let's go to our final. I know we have about a minute left, but a good conversation. We're going to get Coach Coleman on the other side about 6:20. So I'm going to give him, guess what? I'm going to give him grief too. I'm going to give him grief. What's up with this? You know? Just stiff me like that. We're going to go with Coach Folsom here at the end of the hour, at the new hour at 6:05, and then Coach Coleman at 6:20. So let's take a break here. Final at the 5 o'clock hour. Tom, here on 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.